Blog Talk Radio.
Hi guys, hope all is well. Welcome to the Steve Anderson Radio Show. Guys, hope you're having a wonderful, wonderful evening. I'm not going to hold you guys too long because we have a game coming up for your football fans. Or if you're non-football fans, we have, I believe, Kansas City and Detroit Lions are playing. So I'm going to check that out. Even though neither one of those teams are going to make it to the Super Bowl, we know the Jets for sure. I think the Jets and Aaron Rodgers have a great shot of being there. Just let you guys know, I'll play at the Cardinals. Cardinals will be okay. I was at Baltimore real brief, but I think the Jets and Aaron Rodgers is going to be the way to go. So if you don't like that, go ahead and join the team. You'll be okay. but I want to say hope you guys have been well. Hope you guys have been healthy. Health is everything. Very important. I know I've been off the show for a minute. Been playing golf, through injuries, whatnot. There's no excuse. I've been hitting the ball all over the place. The ball been whooping me. I ain't lying. I got to get this golf swing right. I got to get it tight. I will. But I want to get to a topic tonight, guys. And guys, if you would like to call in to participate, you can call in live to participate on the show at 563-999-3665. However, if you would like to listen to the show, and if you're listening or you want to spread it out, share it, you can go to www.blogtalkradio.com/Steve Anderson Radio. So the topic, guys, the topic. And the reason why I'm doing this topic, the last topic I believe I was on that we were got off the topic, discussing HBCUs. And if you guys don't know it, just not find out, of course, I went to the HBCU with the Grambling State University. My mom was an AKA there. My aunts, my older brother played at Grambling State University. My older brother was drafted to San Diego Chargers, Anthony Anderson. My younger brother was drafted to Detroit Lions, Scotty Anderson. And I had relatives that played there. Thyron Anderson played and actually came on as a free agent to the New Orleans Saints. So, yeah, so we have that going on. And I had the opportunity, all of us, to play with some awesome players that was there, and actually two classmates the whole nine. But we had beautiful opportunities, a lot of good, great things happened for us, the right time, or God's time. So I have to give credit to that in some ways. But I want to talk about this, guys, because it's very important to me that a lot of guys haven't been drafted pretty much at all from HBCUs. And once you look at the statistics, you'll be able to get a clear understanding. And the last time we were talking again, I was before, not to forget, is that we had some people call in and had three other NFL players on besides myself doing the show, that some guys called in saying that, is there any difference? How can it be a comparison from an HBCU? And I'm sorry, unfortunately, how so many people around the world, especially even females, been brainwashed thinking about HBCU players don't have the talent and skill level to play on the next level. Of course, we know that's a bunch of hogwash. And we'll just use some other words, but I'll hold up for that some other time. But those are the things that that's totally just been misconstrued in so many different ways, and we kind of gave the statistic is about how us playing from the HBCU, the numbers that we're putting up on stats that transferred into the National Football League. Now, It's time. It's been too long for the HBCU players have been not been recognized. And the reason now, I guess you can see where I'm going with this topic, with Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, transitioning from Jackson State University and now at Colorado Boulder, did he open doors for HBCU players? Okay, so what Coach Prime did, he actually left Jackson State University, and Coach Prime had made a statement a couple of years ago, but we had been preaching and understanding for years because he went to HBCU, that it was a shame that they haven't drafted HBCU players. And he was there coaching, and he saw the talent. He saw the skill level. No one can deny that Coach Prime is he is a professional football player that was a showmanship. He was fun to watch. He was an entertainer. And he's still doing the same thing today. You can't deny that, okay? Even though he didn't go to actually an HBCU, came to coaching, but he had the style, the flair, you know, wearing the towel, wearing the gloves, the shoes tape, the style. HBCU is about performance and style. Okay, some people don't like that, but now this day and time, it's okay now. But back in the day, it was a problem with it. But you came to the HBCU, you're going to get a show. You came in that territory. You come to the HBCU game, it was the bands going off. It was the girls dancing. The stands was dancing. You know, the mascots over there dancing. The players dancing. It was fast football, and it was dangerous football, all in one. It was a show. And scouts knew then they wanted those players. And back in the day, there was a lot of guys getting drafted from HBCUs. Now, since that time in history, those players that played at HBCU and could have gotten drafted as a free agent, however, drafted from the HBCU, have kids there today at these HBCUs. I'm going to say it again. Do not forget, the same players, 90% of the players that played at the HBCU that can play and that were really good players, at least I know at least about 70%, I would say. I would say about 70% because I've seen some of the players there that were very, very talented, and they have their sons that are playing right now in some of these colleges. So these players are sort of like Deion Sanders that got drafted, most of the players that got drafted. He understands the game. When you have a player that has gone to the next level, now I want you guys to listen to this because I'm going to do a topic next week on jealousy. Oh, yeah. Yes, jealousy part two. Yes, jealousy. And that jealousy we're going to discuss, and jealousy, do you think is inherited? Do you think it's taught? Or do you think some people don't have jealousy at all in their heart? Oh, we're going to talk about that. No, yes, we are. I'll talk about that. Now, going back to what I was saying about this, just part of it, when you have a player like Coach Prime, and you have a player that come from the HBCU, okay, we'll say a player that got drafted to the next level, to the NFL. It's almost like driving in a skill, right? So there's drivers that can just drive straight out that, you know, I grew up in the country. Sometimes you drive on a dirt road, okay? In the dirt road, you had no lanes, right? So you know you have to drive. You know when a car is coming on your side, get on the right lane, okay? Avoid the other car. You have to run off the road to avoid it, you avoid it. Anything can happen, however. But still, the driving technique, then now you learn how to go professionally. Those guys are professional, know how to drive. They know how to go into a curve and how to attack the curve. They can feel the wheels moving and squeaking going in and out of turn. They know it from drag racing to when you're accelerating from off the gas pedal, they can feel the tires moving just enough not to slide, not to skid, or going to the curve. However, NASCAR, those guys and girls know what the HLA are doing, okay, versus somebody in South Florida, you're driving, they're just driving 2 miles an hour pretty much on a highway, and everybody else is running 8 miles an hour, and all of a sudden they end up in the hospital wondering how they got there, you know. So stand to say this is that Coach Prime understands the game. When you go to the next level, you learn techniques, okay? Coming from the SWAC, we were bump and run bump and run, you guys don't hear that term too much because they don't do it too much on the big schools. That means that a receiver and a DB, they're in their face every freaking play. No days off, no time off during the game. You're in his face every play. So you have to work hard to get the 10 yards to get open and catch the football. But then those same guys transfer, Coach Prime, take his son and some other players, take the other receiver, I mentioned his name a little bit, bring them over to so-called a big school, a bigger crowd, of course, more money put into the school. Same football field, same yardage, same football, okay? Same spiral, same ball flying in the air, okay? Now, it's like taking candy from 1,000 babies. There is no bump and run. You give them a free release. Like, are you kidding me? Just throw the ball right here and just let me make a fake and run for a touchdown. Like, what is this? So it was like practice. But everybody else was like, wow. Go, what you guys do, when you have a chance, go to HBCU practice. Anywhere locally, just go there. No one's going to bite you. Okay? Go out there as close as you can and watch the HBCU practice. Watch the man-to-man coverage. Watch how it operates. Watch what they did at TCU is no different than what they're doing in practice and they're doing the HBCUs every day and every weekend. No different. Now, I'm going to get into some other things and some statistics. We have a call on the line that's joining. Caller, who's calling? Welcome to Stephen's Radio Show. Caller?
Stevie Durrell.
Okay. Guys, we have
Stevie
Durrell. Yes, sir. I hear you. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. How you doing? This Charles Holy guy. Charles Holy going to jump in with me tonight. He's actually, this guy could have played on the next level in basketball, a true athlete all around, great person. His son right now is on the radar to get drafted right now at the age of what? How old is your son again now? Is it 15?
11.
15 or 14? 11.
11.
11.
He played after 32.
He's on the radar.
That's how they listen. They say the class of 32.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. You're doing the right thing. But I'm going to tell you, my mom and dad had us in camps when we were young. And for your listeners out there, guys, if you have any kids or grandkids, make sure you put your kids, if they're in sports, your grandkids, your relatives, put them in camp. Trust me, it makes a difference. Let me tell you a secret about this. Listen. Okay. Let me tell you how it works, guys. Let me give you a secret. I won't get in trouble for this one, all right? When you go take your kids to camp, they're being stamped. Camp stamped. Okay? Camp stamped. Now, I'll leave that for another topic. So I know somebody's going to get this right. I just said, and they're going to run with it, going to make millions of dollars off of it. But you hear somewhere at ESPN. But go ahead. All right, we'll say that for another day. We'll say that for later right there. I'm going to tell you one more time. Camp stamped. Some of you guys will get it. All right. So, Charles Holy, let me get this Bible verse somewhere, and we're going to get rocking and rolling, all right? I was just trying to touch on a few things right there real quick with Coach Prime. I know we're going to give about 4 to 5 more minutes. We're going to let you guys go because we watched the game. And I want to throw this in because I've been so busy. But the biblical term, Matthew 7, chapter 1st verse, judge not that ye be not judged. Okay? Judge not that ye be not judged. Talk to me.
You asked the question, you know, in regards to jealousy. And there is, when we spoke earlier this afternoon on the phone, you asked, was jealousy inherited or if it was, Steve, give me a minute, man. This is a call from Mark I got to take right quick.
Call me back because we're going to hold that topic, that topic for next week. Okay, we don't put it in there tonight. All right. So, guys, before we put them on hold, before we come back, I should have said that later, but that's okay. All right, Coach Prime, guys. Coach Prime. Coach Prime is Deion Sanders. Okay? Coach Prime, Deion Sanders, who transited from Jackson State University. Okay, it's an HBCU. If you guys don't understand it, it's right there in Mississippi, Jackson, Mississippi. Actually, about 2.5 hours from my hometown. Say about 2.5 to 3 hours from Grambling. Okay? So he transferred. He stayed in Jackson for a couple of years and took off. A lot of people upset about it. He brought a lot of energy to Jackson State. I would say that Jackson State, before Coach Prime was there, had first-round draft choices. I don't know what happened in their situation for the president or the, whatever they did over there with the office, the staff, I don't know. However, Coach Prime came in. He made a turn for Jackson State, and hopefully they're going to be they're on track to keep some same things going on the program to stay steady of winning games. I hope and pray they don't change their format. And I was saying that earlier, when you have a professional athlete like Coach Prime, you learn things. And the jealousy, I think, I think Charles is going to kind of jump off to, I guess that he's off, he may come back on, is this. When you're dealing with a player like Coach Prime that has gone to the next level, and guys, you can relate to any of your job occupations, things that you have that you are professional in. That's professional runs in all different aspects, right? But we're saying athletics, right? So Coach Prime knows more than the average, like my dad would say, average Joe Blow. Okay? He knows more. He's played against some of the fastest and talented athletes every day in practice. Even before that, you know, but really early in the next level in the NFL. When you're in the NFL, as soon as you get, even back when in the 90s, when you got up my car, you on video. When you on, when you had practice, you're in video. When you go to the weight room, you're in video. This is back in the 90s. It's not now. So when you're running a route, you had a video way up above you, okay, that they had it elevated to they can see you run your route. So when you run your route and before you go on your break, you'll be able to analyze if you're on the line or not, okay? If you're 5 yards or 7 yards. I told the story, I'm going to say it again. I got there. I was in Arizona, and the coach told me, he said, listen. He said, Anderson, he said, if you run this route one more time and not at 7 yards, I'm going to send you back to Grambling. Not back to Notre Dame, not back to USC or Colorado, specifically Grambling. He said again, if you don't run this damn route right, I'm going to send your ass back to Grambling. I'm looking at the coach like he done lost his, you know, mind. So I run the route, and I had a receiver tell me, it was Gary Clark. He said, Steve, it changes. It was Gary Clark. I can't think of the other buddy's name. But he said, change your feet. Move your feet around. Just move your left foot, move your right foot back. Because the receiver's in the quarterback was on the left side of me. So the receiver, if the quarterback's in on the left side of you or the right side of you, he's inside of you, put your outside foot back. Okay? So what it did, it actually timed my steps out. So I have to say this, it's the little steps. Now, I learned a lot from my older brother because he played defense, how to get off the line and run routes, buck and run, so that was no problem. I'm going to beat you. That's not a problem. So my steps were a little bit off. They weren't crisp, but they was good. They was okay. They was winning. They was smooth, but they became really, really nice. And they were perfect. Okay? So from that point of view, when you're dealing with a person that's running a 4.240 and 4.340, you get against Aeneas Williams every day in practice, who is a Hall of Famer, and you're practicing, and you're going against Deion Sanders, and Deion Sanders is going against me because I'm running the bump and run, I'm running one-on-one, you learn things that you don't learn in high school. Okay? I'll say it again. You learn things that you don't learn in high school. Not in college. I said high school. So, parents, if you have an opportunity, cousins, relatives, friends, that you can get your son playing sports or any sport or anything they're doing, it could be writing, it could be reading, get them into a professional's hand fast as you can. And if you don't have it, you get yourself a professional hand also. And don't be jealous about it. So when you see Coach Prime, what he's doing with and what has been accomplished, what he's doing right now in TC over in Colorado, that's nothing new. It's nothing new, not from what we look at it. We know he's going to do. He's played both sides of the field. Now, Coach Prime, and like I said, don't be jealous. Don't be jealous. Stop it, okay? Don't be jealous. You're going to be jealous, go pray about it. Okay. So he knows football on both sides of the football field. He's a former NFL player, like I said. And he understands the game. He understands the game. Coach Prime, coming from the HBCU, has helped, in my point of view, has opened the doors for players in the HBCU being drafted. I'm going to say it again. I really believe now that there will be teams out there, some owners, who say, you know what? We've been missing some really good players at the HBCUs. I know we were brainwashed for many, many years from the agents, male and football, male and female agents, male and female announcers. We've been brainwashed from the HBCU players. But yet they seeing these HBCU players get down in practice. But they've been overlooked. Now, let me say this. So, that game that was played with Coach Prime, and I know a lot of people at Jackson State is upset he left, but he left, he came in. A lot of people in life, guys, understand this. I'm going to talk about this. Understand, if you don't hear anything else, understand this. You may be looking at a person across the street from at a restaurant or driving next to you. They're not on your journey. They're not on your journey. They're not here to do the same thing you're supposed to be doing. I'm going to say it again. Everybody's different. You may be born here a certain way, but God has a plan for each and every one of us. Would you believe in God or not? Now, some people born to come in to do other things. Some people come to do just some things. Some people come to do hardly nothing. Some people come to do nothing. But everybody has a different route in this world. You can try to be the next person all you want to, but at some point you're going to get tired. I can't be that person. I'm going to be me and do the best I can do with me. You can get coached all you want to. Girl, guy, you better do this. You better do that. No, you have to do what you have to do. Because God has you here for a reason. That's why he created us, to create things, to create goodness. But we can't do that holding each other down. Okay? God can't, Coach Prime came from the HBCU. He really, really spiced it up for his transition now to Colorado to give more emphasis shown on the HBCU players. Whether we like it or not, it's showing up in a positive way, and it will be showing up in a positive way. Let me tell you this. If Coach Prime doesn't win another game, and I mean, he's going to win some more games. I'm just saying that. He's going to win some games. For giving those boys the opportunity to showcase their talent on the next level, a so-called next level of football. Y'all call it next level because there's more people in the stands, okay? But y'all never did go to play in the Bayou class, but we had 70,000 people and people on the sideline. 100,000 people pretty much in that stand in New Orleans Dome. So, but for y'all say that, he's giving those boys the best opportunity in life. Whether you want to be on Coach Prime's bandwagon or not, thanks for calling the radio show, Steve Anderson. Who calling?
Hey, how you doing, man? Yeah, this is Naj, man.
Naj, how you doing, man? Thanks for calling. How's your evening going, boss man?
Yeah, I'm cool, man. Nothing going on.
Okay. But, let me ask you a question. What do you think about Coach Prime transitioning, man, to from the HBCU, giving insight to the HBCU players?
I don't really think those two things go together much. Ultimately,
okay.
Jackson State is an institute of higher learning.
Right.
These football factories are not that necessarily. They have different priorities, different goals, different ideas about what a student athlete should be, what a school should be. So, I mean, yes, it was
mm-hmm.
beneficial for Jackson, you know, those big crowds, the TV presence, and just
right.
the awareness of that, you know, this is possible for kids who aren't 4 and 5 stars and things like that. I think that's a beautiful
right.
thing. Do I think that is the right. relationship with the NFL and HBCUs? No. Do I think it's like something that can be sustained? I don't think so, and I don't think HBCUs would want it that way, because then you're talking about getting into that grimy, dirty world of big-time football where not only would some of these blue blood schools try to ruin HBCU's programs, threaten their funding, try to get them, you know, the old NCAA penalties. You remember when Mississippi Ole Miss won the SEC and everybody started calling in on them? I think you would see a similar effect if we started seeing HBCUs play those games. And I just don't think their goals, you know, see it that way as you know, just as a function.
So you don't think the football player that's playing at HBCU, you don't think have his eyes set on the NFL? That you're saying?
Oh yeah, I do think there are a lot of them. But you know, let's be realistic about it. The ones who are on the roster who are good enough and fast enough and all that stuff, that would have been the case whether Deion was there or anybody else was there. Remember, Eddie Jordan is still at HBCU. Hugh Jackson is still at HBCU.
Well, they didn't go to HBCU,
you know, they're not getting the same recruiting, you know, as far as talent. So, it's a different story.
Right. I got you. Well, why not? Why do you think they're not getting the talent? Because you call their name out just
now. Well, Deion is a one of one. We're talking about one of the best athletes to ever be born in this country. Also, the charisma of a movie star, you know, everything that ties into Deion makes it a different experience than the other gentlemen who are NFL stars in their own right, but it's not, you know, similar to him.
Well, let me ask you a question. So let's say, I don't know where you're from, that's your personal business, you know. Say you're from, Arkansas, right? Say you're from Little Rock, Arkansas, and you play ball there, collegiate ball, or you grew up in Arkansas. So you mean to tell me that you don't know enough kids around there to make a hot proper team or get some good players to come to that school? Instead of having
to get
somebody that's not from that area? Because you call in names, but there are a lot of times you can have players and coaches right there in that area that has played at the next level of collegiate or the next level that those kids have a relationship to, that they relate to. And that's what I found out when I was at Grambling. A lot of players from Grambling came from New Orleans, maybe Atlanta. A few of them came from Atlanta. A few of them came from New York, just a few. And a handful, maybe two or three, came from California, but most of them came from right there, North Florida, Louisiana, Mississippi, and Arkansas. So then you go to the stands and the people in the crowds. The scouts came because the fact is everybody named mama name was going to come to the game because it was walking distance. And they had the performance. You know, you can go anywhere in the United States. 90% of the time, you know where I'm from, in that five belt state, which is Mississippi, Alabama, Arkansas, Texas, Louisiana, those areas, Oklahoma. they're going to the game, and there's some great players coming out of there. We cannot argue that. A lot of times, too, people relate to a name, too, that's locally. I understand Deion Sanders is one of a kind, but Deion Sanders is not the only player that has played on a collegiate level or the next level either that players can relate to. But I would say, too, to your point of view, you said, yes, do two different levels, but at an HBCU, you say HBCU don't stand for that. Well, HBCU does stand for, you know, they do push for players getting a degree, number one. So they do that now. They do that. And I can tell you some stories about that on another level, major stories about that. So not from that,
let me add this real quick. HBCUs are probably the and some, I guess you could say, AA schools. Those are a few places to where star athlete didn't get assignment done. Guess what? He doesn't play. That's not happening at a Power Five or you know, what we would call a football factory. It's a different mentality.
No, I'm listening to you on that. That's no, you're right. No, HBCU, they do talk about academics just as much as a player playing. I'm gonna take it, since you're calling in, I'm gonna tell you a story about me. Since you're going down the road, I'm gonna tell you a story about me. When I got drafted, I had 30 some credits over. 30 credits. And I said, well, why can't I use 30 credits? Well, no, check this out. Because a homeboy of mine that we had roommate, I'm gonna call his name is Mr. Davis. He's an attorney. He's an attorney down in Baton Rouge right now. We're at summer school every summer. So I'm way ahead. Like, I'm thinking that we're going to have enough credits to have my master's. Oh, no. They were more concerned about me going to the NFL than me, not, you know, than they're saying, well, you need to be over here. I already have my credits. So I had a lot of tension in the class, even though I'm passing. I have 30 credits, so I get ready to go get my credits, get in to get my degree. They say, oh, now these are electives. I say, you know what? Y'all playing games. Oh, this is true. You want to talk? Let the world talk about it? We're going to let everybody know. So I mess around. I say, you know what? I'm out of here. I'm going to the league. I come back and get that. So I had to go back later through Arizona to University of Phoenix online and finish my little 12 credits to be eligible to have my degree. I had to go that route. But I left because of the fact, so I understand what you're saying about that. That's true. That's true. But that's what I went through. But I had my mind on playing ball there because I could see myself get my best opportunity to play hard as I can while I had the time to go to the next level, which is professional football. That's my story. Mm. So I agree with you saying. I do. I do on that part with the educational part. But back to you saying, I don't agree with you in a sense about saying that these guys do see the vision. They're going out to play. I don't know who you think these days don't want to go play, try to get themselves enough talent to reach the next level. Now, we all know that everybody's not going to go play professional football, right? We already know that. But I think a lot of guys out on the football field feel like they could go to the next level. I really do. And I agree with you, too. There's no Deion Sanders. It's only very, very minimum of Deion Sanders. I understand with the Deion Sanders situation what you're talking about. I understand that. But I think when you have a lot of – you call Hugh Jackson out, you call Eddie George out. I played with guys right there.
I wasn't knocking them. They're graduating players.
No, I'm not knocking them.
People,
I'm not,
you know. Yeah, I wasn't knocking them.
Right,
about I
got you. I don't know. I know Eddie George played professional sports. I don't know if Hugh Jackson. I don't know that the story, but I know Hugh Jackson at Grambling. But I would say this: that there are players I played with. Got Marcus Dardell. There's a couple of the guys. You had Kwame Lassiter. All these guys played at Tennessee State. They played with me at the Cardinals.
Mm-hmm.
That could be coaching. That would bring in 50,000 people at the stands. There's a lot of guys that have played Tennessee State way back when your older brother played that would bring people in those stands. They know them. The parents know them. They trust them. So I'm not – look, Eddie George was a great player in the NFL. And he's doing the best he can do with Tennessee. And I would say the same thing as the coach. Hugh Jackson's doing the best he can.
I think we're talking past each other on this, though, because I think we're in agreement on this. I think it is a good thing. And like you said, it's like a generational link. If it puts those chains together to where they can locally be a much bigger thing than what they were, because you're kind of keeping all of that local revenue and you're connecting the next generation to the past. Like I get all that. The only point I'm trying to make is the transfer portal changed things, because when you got the star power of Deion and you can do a quick fix where you're getting in talent normally you wouldn't be able to get in, I feel like in 2 or 3 years, Deion's going to have that thing rolling, you know, top five national championship contender. If, you know, things stay as they are.
I agree.
I have no question about that. But I'm just speaking about, you know, just HBCUs in general. Like, do I think they're going to start competing at a higher level as far as athletically? No, I don't think so. I think it's more of a one-off situation. And like you said, yeah, there's going to be HBCU players who go to the next level because there's a lot of talent there. And honestly, you get the talent in the later rounds, so you're actually getting a bargain. But I think that opens up those doors any more than, you know, what we've seen previously as far as, you know, the NFL is concerned. Because the thing about the NBA, two-round draft, football, seven-round draft, there's so many talented people that can play football. That's the difficulty of it. I'm sorry, man. Go ahead, please.
No. What you're saying is this, though. So it comes back down to that person that can go and knock on the door. They knock on the door, and their kid come with them. You know Coach Robinson, that's how he was, right? So Coach Robinson, like I said, I don't know where you're from, but I'm going to say this. Because Robinson knocked on your door. Now, I had my mind, I wasn't going to Grambling, right? That's just me. I ended up going to Grambling, but I wasn't going to Grambling. And things worked out. God had me do that. But when he come knock on the door, you're going, okay?
Right.
You know, at some point, you're going. Those coaches that's in that local area, if there's any coaches in that area that has played at a collegiate level, that play at that level, that can understand that level of football, and they have a chance. If they went to the next level, that's a bonus, right? We just said it's a bonus. Those kids, but these HBCUs are going to pull those players and those fans to those HBCUs and make those HBCUs a powerhouse. That's what I'm saying. Now, if you have a coach there that's not from there, he's going to have to go and get on the ground and walk around and get connected with people in those communities to reach out to get these people, because it's no different than what Coach Prime said about the little kid that used to, the running back, that when he was 4 years old, right? It's the same deal when you back in Louisiana, where I'm from, down in the country, and you have those kids down there that's in flag football and camps that you play with, that you see growing up, that you waiting on, that you bring into the next level, that you taught them, because they know what to do, because you already taught them. And that's another bonus, right? Because Prime knows football. He knows the next. You're a professional. You know certain things that some people have a clue how you do it. But that's the next level. If you have any of that collegiate or that next level in that area, and like I said, if you have a coach that is not from that area, he has to get his behind out there to people that's in that area and get connected with the kids out there. You have to get off your high horse and get down there and walk around and understand what's going on in the community. You have to be a mirror in that community.
Those relationships with high school coaches are so important for any of those guys. That's how you get all the stories about Florida, where Charlie Strong was going out there and, you know, signing all those guys. And Georgia, of course, the same thing. So, yeah, I agree on that. It's just, I think our definition of powerhouse is the issue here. So when you say powerhouse, to me, that means a traditional Power 5, Big 12, you know what I mean, SEC, ACC, you know, Pac-12, formerly Pac-12, those type of levels. What I see with HBCUs is something like a Missouri Valley, type of level of, as far as how big it can get. Now, there's nothing wrong with that, because when you start talking about NIL deals with the local companies that are right there in your community, you shooting little commercials for the local little hardware store and stuff, like that's a beautiful thing. And then when you tie a local regional TV deal on top of that where, you know, hey, Johnny's going to be on Friday. Tell your grandma, oh, okay, he's going to be watching. Like, yeah, I get it. I think that model works.
But you're right, too, though. It takes what we're talking about, what you're saying earlier. Who's going to go, okay, so check this out. So we're talking. No, I'm not going to talk about what I do in my community. I'm not going to come off like I'm selfish and thing. But you have to do these things. You have to get locally. You have to go in, knock on the door, and sit down and talk to people in the community. What about this player? What's going on in this area? What do you guys do over here, right? You have to get out there and merge out there in the communities, because I'm going to tell you this. Right there. From Grambling, from Louisiana Tech. I'm just going to say Grambling because it's an HBCU. When I came out, you had Willie Roth that got drafted, first round, okay? I go draft to the Cardinals and I'm going to the Jets. Right there, right there together, right? We practiced with Tech in the summertime. But there's so many guys in that community right in the northern area that could have gotten drafted to other teams, and some did. And to say this, even from camp, I mentioned camp earlier. When I said camp stamp, you know what that means. A lot of people don't. Well, when you go into camp, those coaches right there, they're watching. They don't want those players to get away from the community. We had, I think it was probably about five guys in North Louisiana. There's one with the USC, one with the Texas A&M, right there within 15 miles of Grambling. Okay?
Yeah.
Big players could have gone. Now, say for your example, you're a businessman, you're a networking person. You're going to make sure you get your hands on those people. Say, listen, I put my tennis shoes on. I got to go down here and go in this restaurant and talk to these people out here. I have to be a mayor. I have to be a governor. I have to get on the walk. I got to campaign.
Mm-hmm.
You have to campaign.
That phrase is always lived in college football. Always be recruiting. Look, there's high school coaches that called Nick Saban. He's picking it up on the second ring, because not only does he trust that person's eye to evaluate talent, but they have a relationship where that's his guy and he's gonna rock with him. And then there's other ones where he's like, that guy said it. I don't know. I need to watch myself. Like that stuff matters. So yeah, I agree.
It matters. It matters. It really matters. And I'm glad you called in. Like I said, I'm gonna do a next topic next week on the topic. You join, come on, call in anytime you want. Like I said, you keep your name anonymous and just come on in and have a conversation. That's what it's about, letting people in the world know, and just being straight up. That's what we do it out here. So, but you're right. The campaigning is crucial. It's missing, and that's just my perspective. But also too, like you said, building these HBCUs, it won't be like Colorado, of course. Well, I wouldn't say that. But how many people is going? You have to oversight it right. You have to have the right oversight to build these colleges up if you want that volume of people, a volume of students. I talked to a gentleman, and before I let you go, I was up. I was at the university. I was passing through there. And I didn't even know it was a game that week. Didn't even know. I didn't know it was a home game. And I'm there. I didn't know it was a home game. I'm like, how in the hell? Why no home? I didn't even know it was a home game. No advertising on the radio. Nothing, right? So I said to myself, yeah, it's true. True. Someone told me, I said it's a game. So, but we were talking about what you basically saying earlier. We said the campaigning part of it is missing. But I said, if it's only so many thousands of people at this school, why can't it be at these HBCUs? Why can't it be 20? Why can't it be 30,000? Why can't it be 40,000? It's a campaign, right? And you know, and I know, as business people, and I guess you're small, you know, we look at just funding from here in the States. That's funding all across the world. Now, we're getting a lot of people a lot of keys and answers to find solutions. I'm giving, you know, we're giving free information, but there's money all over. Mm-hmm. And I plan on, and we're working on this right now to get behind my university for sure, but I said this, I said, why can't we have 40,000 people at these HBCUs? You know why? It goes back to what you said earlier. They need an education. Okay? Grambling, you get a chance to get education, get yourself in the front of the door to make a career out of yourself. And a lot of people that went to Grambling, HBCUs, are making money. They're set. They have their retirements, their RAs. They have their they have their money set in different notes. A lot of things going on, right? So you still have to have that's a door first to get your degree. Then while you're there, you have a chance to play sports. If you're talented enough, you have a chance to be seen. And if you're really talented, you have a chance to be getting drafted. If you don't, you still have the education going through life, right? But why can't it be, why is it so minimum? Why is the volume so small? That's, and I think, and sometimes I get doubtful, but I think that they're trying to get it right.
But they're trying to get it right while keeping their integrity. So it's difficult to do. But just think about it. Travis Hunter even going to Jackson State is a game changer just because he considered it, and now others will do the same and think about it. And they're not looking at it as a less than or I'm taking a short – like, no. You're going to get everything you need provided. And also, let's just talk about who you are mentally.
Right.
Being around people that you – see achieving things that are highly educated, that's really good for young kids' confidence, and that's one thing that really works well for a lot of HBCUs. And some of these people wouldn't have been able to stand up in corporate America the way they do if they hadn't went through there and got that training and seen that it was possible.
That's
so,
the truth.
Yeah, I'm 100% with you on that.
That's the truth. That's the truth. But I really do thank you for calling in for the show. Like I said, we're just giving awareness to this draft. And we understand there's a lot of leverage and things behind it, but just look at Travis Hunter, right? He said, "I'm going to play with Coach Prime at Jackson State." He believed in his talent. He believed in Coach Prime. He believed that Coach Prime was going to give him direction, right? Direction. He was going to lead him in the wrong direction, and it's working out. And just keep praying for him. Let them play their best. Get their degrees. Going with life. Enjoy their life, but others will see it. I tell you this.
Yep.
Me and my brothers and I had offers. Okay, we won the championship my senior year. I'm going to let you go. I said I was going to let you go a few minutes ago.
It's all good, brother.
But let me tell you. So we won the championship. We should have won it my junior year. That's another – I'm not going to talk about that. We'll put it like this. We didn't throw the ball the whole game. I'm going to say it again now. I want to get on Toronto with my little small town. But we ain't throw the ball the whole game now. They don't know that we're going to get older and start thinking about this and realize what really went on in that game. Now, we had the best record going to play John Curtis down in New Orleans, private school. They didn't throw the ball not one down the whole game. So we lost this cold game. We lost 42, 44, something like that, 45, whatever. Came back and won it the next year. But I had offers all over. I had offers, and my mind was set to go to the Sooners. Because I wanted to go to Sooners and run track. Track was my first love.
Mm.
And mom said, no, you're going to Grambling. I said, I'm not going to Grambling. You're going to Grambling because my brother just left Grambling. I said, no, because my brother played and you get the time. Like you got drafted. Things happen. God has a plan. Like we say, plan for everybody, right? But I said, you know what? I'm going to go up here. And I said, I want to play when I first got there. And I didn't play, so I end up quitting for like a week. Coach King, you got to come back. You know, you can't quit. And I alternated through first quarter. I only played two quarters, and I got drafted. But every time I said, you know, I was mad. I said, every time I get this ball in my hand, I'm going to score it. Every time I get my hand and I have some plays, I drop in the end zone. I ain't lying. I was mad. I was mad the whole time I was there. But that's Travis Hunter, and that's you. That's other people out there. That I'm going to use where I'm at Grambling State University or HBCU and get my degree. And am I going to football field or anything I'm doing, which track, basketball, baseball, I'm going to make sure if it's golf, I'm going to make sure if it's sports, if I'm going to be a professor, I'm going to be the best school teacher, I'm going to be the best scientist. Whatever I'm doing, I'm going to focus and I'm going to get it done. I'm going to get what I need to get from here and take it to the next level. And I just feel that they're trying, and I think sometimes they're right there at the corner, but the direction just a little bit off, right? It's just a little bit off. When you come in from outside, where are you from, right? If I come outside, I'm coming to coach. I'm going to call somebody there, and I'm going to call some other people. I'm not going to call one person. I'm going to call about four or five people. And then I'm going to get out there and start walking around and start campaigning. I don't want these players to leave within this 15-minute range or this 30-minute range or an hour range. I want them coming to my school.
Right.
And
first of all, put a bench up.
That's it. It's simple. Mm-hmm. Keep it simple, right? Kiss. Mm-hmm. It's kiss. You can go sell all the books you want to and have all the podcast and whatever. It still come back to what we just said. It's just that simple. And then it's good. And then you're gonna start seeing, yep. Because guess what? My dad said this. My dad old school, you know, to play college basketball. He had to go work, right? So he said this. He's an electrician. He said this not too long ago. He said if you stay around your community and you start focusing and have these scouts at these colleges to focus on these guys right around the community within an hour range, and then start merging out. He said, you're going to mess around. You're going to have a whole stadium filled up. Now,
mm-hmm.
The primes, that's different, right? That's different. However, get some people that's in that area, that's in that community, and everywhere you go on this planet, there's somebody that's a professional at something. Okay? Whether if you're in that field. In sports, you go into some areas, you'd be like, I know this guy from this area. Call him up. Get their advice. They're going to tell you where to go.
Right.
So we have property back at home. I can tell you where to go down these woods. We're going to walk in the woods down. You're going to go step in something over here. Take this angle down. You got to talk to people in the community. To bring those players right there in the community. It's kids. It's keeping it simple. But I really do appreciate
Agreed.
It. We have another call on the line. Right quick. Hold on 1 second. I'm going to see this caller. Caller. Let me just see if I have some radio show. We have a caller. Oh, no. I'm sorry. So, but I really do appreciate it. You calling in. I really enjoyed it. But what you said is so true. I think we have some viewpoints on it. That's moving in the same direction. And if they're not moving in the same direction, it's about people understanding what people's thoughts are and whatnot. But I understand there's ways to build these universities up. But I did say that, though. I said, why can't there be more students at these HBCUs? Because how they're being, everybody can't go to Yale, right? Everybody can get – Yale's mm-hmm. only going to take so many on a certain scholarship, right? Why can't that same kid that's in art or have the talent, why they can't go to HBCU and then go from there and then go to another graduate area to prove it and then go on to the next level? That's what HBCU is here for.
Right. So look, I got to run because I'm going to go in there and check out, see what my homes do tonight. But –
Okay.
That's exactly what this affirmative action ruling from the Supreme Court is going to do. Now, these schools who now have an excuse to exclude even more minorities than they used to, that's going to push a lot of those kids to HBCUs who wouldn't have considered it before, and that's a beautiful thing. So, yeah, I agree with you on that too, man. But
I would appreciate you calling in, man. I would appreciate
you. But I'm rooting for the Lions tonight. But yeah, man, next time you have a show, I'll definitely call in.
All right. Hey, thanks for calling in. Keep it moving, man. Keep it all positive things. All right.
You too, man. All right.
All right.
Peace.
All right. All right. Later. All right. Peace. We have a caller. I think somebody just holding on the line. You heard somebody now.
Yeah, it was just me. I was listening to him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was listening, man. That's
So who is this? Who's on the phone? I don't know who this is. Who's on the phone? Who is this?
Scotty Ken Anderson.
For your audience, this is my younger brother, Scotty. His team is playing tonight, Detroit Lions, poor team. Hopefully they pull it out. They're playing tonight against Kansas City. Good luck tonight, Scotty, with your Detroit Lions. I know you right now, y'all getting your bets going or whatever y'all doing right now in the games, but good luck on Detroit Lions. It's going to be a hard run tonight for you guys. And we'll wish you best of luck. The gentleman has got a I know. Good luck.
Hey, that's what they said to Dion.
They said that to Dion. Now we knew better.
They didn't think that was gonna happen. Detroit gonna show you tonight. They better than what you can't go on last year. You know how it's in a given Sunday. You know how football is. You never know.
It is like in a given Sunday. Okay. Yeah. It is. That's true. Let me say this though. Let me give you a football draft trivia question, Scotty. And the gentleman that was on very informative. It was a good discussion that we're talking about. But we're just talking about how the campaigning for these HBCUs and keeping that talent local. And now there's a lot to be done. But it could be done. Okay, it could be done. But I want to say this, Scotty. I said the numbers that these guys put up, they had a great game. I'm not going to get too much into it. I'm going to say this real quick because I'm about to get up the game. But I'm going to get a football draft question trivia. And, guys, I'm going to hold off on this. We're going to move to some other topics. I just wanted to kind of discuss that the doors are kind of open for – I really believe the doors are open for the HBCU players. You guys are HBCUs. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep staying focused. And if anybody in that area that you know on the next level, on the professional level, listen to them. And listen to the next person. Get different ideas. Learn. Listen to the coach. The coach can only do so much. The coach can only do so much now. They can't coach everything, but they can do so much. But go back and look at some of these films who was getting the job done. Those are guys you call. But hold on one second. So let me get a football draft trivia question, Scott, before we jump off. All right. Guys, if you can follow me this, if you can follow me with this, let me know. Okay. How many total teams are there in the NFL? Answer? 32 teams. All right, Scotty? Pick this up. How many players are drafted each year in the NFL? Answer? Approximately 256 players. Now, in the last 13 years, since 2010, last 30 years, how many total players have been drafted? Answer? Okay. Let's do the math. 13 years times 256 players, 3,328 players have been drafted since 2010. Now, the big question. Ooh-wee. How many HBCU players have been drafted since 2010? The small answer? Unfortunately, only 34 players out of 3,328 players since 2010 from an HBCU have been drafted in the last 13 years. I'm going to say it again. Out of 3,000 players, to be exact, 3,328 players, since 2010, only 30 freaking 4 players have been drafted from an HBCU. The biggest question is why. And we could put that W in many forms. We could put that H in many forms and put that Y. And like what? H-E-L-Y. One last time, we'll let you go. Since 2010, 3,328 players have been drafted to the NFL. Only 34 players from the HBCU has been drafted. Guys, we feel that
that's I mean, that's two people. That's an average of two people a year. And what's crazy, half of them years you're talking about, didn't nobody get drafted.
That's right. And the percentage, like you said, is
so
like 0.1.
They're making it where you go over there if you're trying to go pro? Because no matter what you do, they're not going to draft you. They're going to wait till you go free agent.
Look, what the boss man said earlier, he called in the gentleman, he said this. You're going to have to get in this HBCU to start campaigning and getting these players playing the larger schools, but at the same time, too, getting them out there playing and giving more vision to these players and give them opportunity
when
to get out there and get drafted.
When those players play these big schools, though, like Grambling about to play LSU here coming up, you gotta make a difference in them games that you know they ain't let y'all play LSU, but now they just throwing them on the schedule because and who gonna really step up and say something about it? Who gonna really do something about what we talking about? If you think about it, they talk about Deion.
Yeah.
Deion did the right thing. What he supposed to be still down Jackson State? He down there trying to help them.
Yep.
They was talking about him, wasn't
it? Yeah, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, because when Deion, I mean, they talked about all that, but wasn't they down there talking about it? So what, he supposed to stay there? So it's like you do go try to help out, then they talk about you, or they don't want your help. So what do you do? What do you do if you black school players to go to these schools and score 500 touchdowns and don't nobody even care? Like, what is that about?
And I really do. I know for as the HBCUs, they have to start campaigning, and I think Scott has opened the doors for a lot of about the players where they perform. At the HBCU level, I mean, not at the HBCU, when they play down in the Colorado for Coach Prime, that these players now, Scotty, they can come in like Shedeur Sanders and you had Travis Hunter. Those guys that played at Jackson State can give insight to a lot of guys now. They can see that, you know what, I feel that someone's going to look at us now and start watching.
Well, them boys didn't even dominate like that at Jackson State. So what they tell you about the level of football. And that's just one game. They gonna do the same thing, sir. It's the same. It's easier to them. So they look at black school, but would you want to be on the field with a bunch of crazy people that ain't got nothing to eat or around some people that's living good and eating good? And what people don't realize, when you go to pro, to how you get to ease, you know, in NFL, kind of it's a level, but you could almost see a touchdown in the NFL versus at Grambling. I had to go around stuff so it might look easy. Yeah, I had to work. It wasn't like that. But the NFL is like the play. They design plays. It's already open. Like an 80-year-old woman can go sit in the hole and you throw her the ball and she catches. A 70-year-old lady can catch a football.
That's what
I'm saying. So it's like, then we're giving boys millions of dollars because they caught a football? No, you need to do more than just catch the football. You need to catch that football for years and years and years. And you it caught a ball, one play, one catch, one-hand ball. Now you got 50 million. No, we weren't like that when we were playing. We had to work. You know, so it's like they're giving, but they're just letting them just – it goes to facility. Every college facility look like you play in the NFL. So it's like,
that's true.
They not working. They got these deals. Ain't nobody let them work for nothing. They paying boys on what they think they supposed to do. That ain't going to get it. You might as well just go hire all the tall people so they're going to shoot basketball. It's like nobody's having to work for nothing. You make one play, they're going to give you a contract. Just one. Just one play. All you need is one play, and you're getting drafted. Believe that.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I'm saying? You're going to see tonight, Sunday, that when you go to the NFL, it's a whole other level. So you had to work to get to the NFL. We had to work. They don't have to work no more. You just, I don't know what's going on. I mean, when did we celebrate catching a slant? You catch one out route, and they celebrate instead of, like, you're supposed to catch the ball, don't you?
Supposed to. That's your job.
You just hit a button and go to the league. Get on the elevator and hit NFL and go straight to the NFL. That's what they got it. But it's still nobody. How is it more players getting drafted back in your days than Eddie Robinson than now from HBCUs? Now, that don't even make sense. So it's just an unbalanced either way it go. The way they got it, you got to go our way or we're not going to give you no money. You don't even have to be talented. Just come our way. If Deion showed you, I go get a bunch of talent and put it together and just whoop your behind all across the field. That's what he showed you. He was playing Alcorn and Prairie last year. Then just go beat the team that's in the championship. That should tell you something. That don't supposed to happen. He don't supposed to go beat no TCU like that. No, he don't. If they was that good, no, you don't. They supposed to beat Deion and them to death.
But he wouldn't have beat those guys if he wouldn't have got those guys from the HBCU.
Yeah, but that's still hard with Deion to get people and put them together like
oh,
that
yeah.
in
no,
one year
no,
and go
agree.
Beat the team. Yeah, it's like TCU was the runner was at the championship. Like they don't supposed to let that happen. No, they don't.
No, it's true. It's true. All right, so let me say this.
You know, it's like I mean, what level are we? Is it the Big Ten or the little ten?
Right. It's like it was a baby ten. That's what it looked like to me. But no, seriously, because you and I know. That I'm looking on the football. I tell you this, the game's exciting. And it was exciting. I haven't had that much excitement since I was watching you and Anthony play and other guys at Grambling and even at high school level when it was football, they played and it was packed. It was some games played, right? Or when we went to go watch, the guy who got drafted before you got drafted, Sylvester Morris, who got drafted first round at Jackson State. You know, we would drove down there and watch Sylvester Morris. Now, where's Sylvester Morris at right now? Right. So,
yeah.
Sylvester Morris, right there at Jackson State. I dropped the first round. Now, we went to go watch that game. It was exciting like that to go watch it. And that's what that's how the HBCU
well, game. Well, Jackson State, like you say, that game was packed in. They was packed back then. They didn't just not start
yes.
that now.
Yes.
But it's
we
like
all
they
played,
don't,
they were packed.
Well, I don't know. It's
but,
like
but
ever since Eddie Robinson was gone, just been kind of down with the swag as far as players getting drafted.
You're going to have to force you. I would say this, and we're going to go. For the HBCU players, they have to stay focused. You have to work. Do your social media. Because social media right now is a huge ordeal helping guys with being seen. Your time, if you can run, people are going to see you, period. If you're strong in football, it depends what position you're in, okay? But if you have some speed, they're coming to see you, period. They're coming to see you, see what you can do. You have to have some speed, get your talent right. You have to go out there and perform. HBCU players, there's coming. The draft is coming around, and I really do believe there's going to be more players starting to get drafted again to HBCU. And there's a lot of good talent out there right now, even watching Grambling playing against Hampton. There were some nice-sized guys out there on the line with Grambling, some nice-sized guys out there in Hampton. So it's going to come to speed, tests, the skill position. You guys look pretty good, but – you got to keep it up. But one thing about it, you get to the next level, deal with professional people that actually know what the HEL they're talking about, what the hell they're talking about, okay? Look at the guys on the film that played that position. Don't look at guys that didn't play that position. Look at the guys that played that position, that you call them and ask them for questions. They tell you how to run that route, how to stop that defender, how to throw that ball, how to get around that block, off the line, off the end. Special teams. You have to reach out to people like that that understand the game of the game. Call them. They'll be glad to hear it. They'll be glad for you to call them. They're going to give you information. And then go in there and, yes, coach, be humble, work hard. At the end of the day, everybody have their own journey, but at the end of the day is this. You cannot go, this cannot keep happening where guys are not getting drafted from the HBCU, and you're sitting there watching all the talent that they have, and they're just as better than the players from these so-called Pac-10, so-called Pac-12 players. And I have nothing against that because I have friends right now probably on the other end listening to what I'm saying, but they know if they played against it, they know now. They know that we came out of the ground, we were no joke. And they know I could, one-on-one, you forget about it. They know. Now, they might not play us because we're at HBCU, come to HBCU that much. We're forced to get our retirement and whatnot, but they know and get in practice. They know what time it is. They give us that feeling what time it is. So we're going to have to start getting these HBCU players in those communities, getting those players there around the community. Get off your behind. Get out there in the community. You have talent right there around the area. And use the talent. Stop being so cocky. Stop being so arrogant. Because arrogance will leave you behind. When you're getting arrogant and cocky, you hurt other players. All right? So stay focused on what you guys are doing. Stay humble. Keep working hard. And don't stop because scouts, they're going to start coming around. And I think we have Gremlin playing LSU at this game. I'm quite sure there's a lot of scouts there. So for your HBCU players, Gremlin, I'm assuming our college, get down there and be ready to play. Won't be at the game. Got some business working on, but make it happen. And as for all the other HBCU players, make it happen. Any closing arguments, Scotty, you want to talk about? You want to say or get off?
No.
Well, I'll say this. We used to beg Coach Robinson to let us play these big schools. We used to beg him. Nobody would play us. Nobody. Because we worked hard. We'd be out on the practice field after practice. When you have a vision where you're going, sometimes you have to just separate yourself from folks. Sometimes you have to separate your folks from folk. That's in anybody. When you have a vision and a goal you're trying to achieve, sometimes you have to separate yourself from folk and focus on what your goals are. And at this time in life, a lot of that has to be done to get things in order. Because right now across the world, it is all over the place. But I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Thanks to Scotty for jumping in. My younger brother played with Detroit Lions. He's about to watch his team right now go out there and perform. And there'd be some Scotty Detroit Lions end up with the Jets. But it's the same division, though, I believe, right? Yeah, same. No, we're on the AFC. Yeah, no, we play.
No.
Yeah, I believe. You're on the AFC side,
yeah.
Yeah, my bad. Sorry about that. I'm talking about how much I know about football, huh? See? Hey, that's something. So, hey, so listen. Hey, Scotty, hey, enjoy your night. Thanks for calling in, and hope you can join us next week. And the next topic next week, guys, is going to be jealousy. Jealousy to the trillionth power. Jealousy times trillion. Okay? Jealousy, do you think people are born with jealousy? Do you think people actually can be taught? Do you think people with jealousy, in a sense, that not jealousy at all, have no jealousy in their hearts at all? So the main topic, again, is going to be about jealousy. Is it inherited? Is it taught? Or are there people in this world that has no jealousy at all? Hope you guys enjoyed the show. Have a wonderful night for you football fans. Hope you guys enjoy the game with Detroit and Kansas. And we'll talk to you guys soon. All right?
All right.
All right. Steph, goodbye.
Things like picnics in the park on a Saturday by